It's a new intro for the brand new show. It's fancy. I'm so happy.
When you are a fat man and you try and do a fitness podcast, but you injure your old fat self and can no longer do the physical crap needed, you go back to your one true and authentic self. A giant asshole that has a quick fuse and rants about everything. You start being Fat Angry Stretch. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Stretch Show podcast.
Here I am. I'm back. I have a new intro. Here's what you're going to notice. Nothing's really going to change other than that intro. And I'm still going to be, because I realized what a massive pain in the ass it is to change everything. I'm on every single podcast platform there is out there. So I needed to go into each one of those and change the name of the show. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it as Fat to Fit, or else I changed the logo. I changed the intro. And I'm not going to be doing challenges and issuing that kind of stuff. We'll see how long until the mean spiral lady catches on and fires me. But in the meantime, I'm back and I'm ranting and I'm just talking about the nonsense that is my big fat life. And I've realized after last week, life is uncertain. And I'm talking about the murder of Charlie Kirk. Life is uncertain. You could be dead at any time. I could walk out at work and there could be a crazy homeless person there and they could just stab me to death or shoot me or something. Like, I have no idea. I could be dead just like that, just like any of us can. So I am making the best of it. I'm not working out. I'm just not. I walk the dog. I get my walks in. I'm trying to be okay with my diet, but F it. I'll still talk about that stuff because it's still important and I know people want to be healthy and I don't want to drop dead, but I'm not really helping myself out right now. So I'm just going to roll on. I have to tell you guys, I had the best weekend ever. The very simple pleasures. I have adjusted my life to just really in like loving simple things. And I seriously got choked up. I literally got choked up to the point of tears on Saturday. I did my usual Friday. I spent the night in Downey, took Ice for a walk, hung out at my parents' house. Then I got up Saturday morning and I brought Ice here to the apartment first to get my wife and my other dog, my German Shepherd. Now, you guys know Ice is my dog and Nova is my wife's dog and she's the shepherd. And Ice is a big, fat, 100-pound chihuahua. It's the best way to describe him. He's like a buffed, nasty chihuahua. That's what he's like. And he's fat, too, because he shouldn't weigh 100 pounds. He should weigh about 75. And my parents have obesed him up, and he is a big, fat porker. But that was Saturday, and I was just, I have worried so much about the separation, knowing that Ice has now been at my parents' house longer than he was at my house in the Palisades. And I, you know, my goal was that when I got him, he was going to his forever home. And I thought I was in my forever home, but we were not. And 6 months after getting him, we were upset and had to leave. And he has not seen Nova once since that day. Since the last time they left for the fire. Remember, my wife came and took Nova. My daughter took the pug. And when I got home during the fire, Ice was home by himself and he was literally shitting himself. He was literally on the deck, in the window, crying. He always cries when he sees, it's the weirdest thing. When he sees me or my mom now, he cries. He goes crazy and he's just so, and it's literally like a crying of joy, and that's what he does. So I'm like, all right. And then we've started work on the rebuild of the house, and as far as it's gotten is they built a giant concrete wall around our house. That's what we've got. We've got this huge, it's literally the size of a dog park. We have a really big lot and it's got a wall around it. And I told my wife, man, we have this wall up. I want to bring the dogs here and see if they remember each other. I really want them to not forget each other. And I know that Ice likes to fight, and I don't want him to fight with her. If he does, he's going to have to go. And it's bothered me. And the fact that I feel like I am a liar in the sense of I adopted this dog. I promised I would take care of this dog. And then I bring him to Downey, and he's with my parents. And granted, I go there twice a week just to see him and spend time with him. And he and I have a great relationship still. But he lost his family. He lost my wife. He lost my daughter. He lost our other two dogs, and he loved them. That was, he settled in, and that was his family, and he was happy to be there. And I didn't want him to be used to not being around any other dog and maybe become mean and maybe not get along with Nova anymore. So we came to the apartment, and my wife's like, well, wait outside. Don't bring him in the house, because we know they play like crazy when they see each other. So I'm like, okay. So I get to the apartment. I'm walking Ice. I'm going around the block. And then my wife is getting ready, because she's never ready. Just never on time. Never, never, ever on time. Like never. Like never, never. Did I say never on time? Yeah. So anyway, she's in the house getting ready. And Ice come. I let him in the yard. The front yard of the apartment building is gated as well. It's funny. We have the same exact gate around the apartment building that we had put around the house in the Palisades initially, the one that burned. So it's the same fence, same color and everything. They did them at the same time. They built the one at the house, and then they came over to the apartment building and they built the one over here. So long story short, we now are at the apartment, and I have Ice in the front yard, and he runs into the front yard, and I notice he's usually on a leash. He's very obedient. He also wears a pinch collar, and he's learned to be incredibly obedient on a leash. Well, we come in, and he's pulling and pulling, and it has to hurt to pull with that collar. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And he's smelling the yard, and it's because he's smelling where the German Shepherd has been out there peeing. He's smelling Nova, and he is smelling, and he's very intense on smelling. And then he starts going around, like trying to look into the windows of the apartment building. And I know now he smells her. He knows she's there, and he hasn't forgotten her scent. And my wife came out the door with her on the leash, and he started crying because he was so happy. It literally, like, it did. It brought tears to my eyes. He was so happy. And then as soon as they see each other, they play for just a minute, and then we shove them into my car, and we drive over to the Palisades, and we let them go in the dirt. And I put videos up of it. I filmed so much. But they were the happiest I've ever, and I was also worried that Nova's a little old, not much. She's a couple years older than him, so he's 3, Nova's 5. And I was just, I was so happy. It was such a pure joy of sitting and watching those dumb dogs chase each other around until they were exhausted in the dirt and have so much fun. And literally, Nova's way more athletic than Ice by that. I mean, she's way faster, and she can probably jump higher, but she doesn't. And I know she runs way fast. She always outruns him when they play. She just runs ahead of him and then turns around and bites him. And I was worried about her too, maybe not getting along with him, because he's rough. And she was the alpha before. She was always the accepted alpha dog. So they ran around, and at some point, Fat Boy Ice had to lay down and rest. And when he laid down to rest, Nova would walk up to him and bark at him, and then bite him and run away. It was so fun. Oh, God, it was so fun. Absolutely loved it. It was the best thing that has happened to me maybe since the fire. I'm not kidding. Absolutely loved it. So that was joyous. And then we came back to the apartment, and then we have a little bit of, we don't have a yard at all there, but there's like a patio in the back, barbecue grill back there and stuff like that. And we let them back there, and I sat out there with them, and my wife sat out there too in a chair. And I'm not kidding. Within 2 seconds, somebody walked by, like there's like a, beside the fence, there's another apartment building. Somebody walked by from the other apartment building, and Nova barked at him because that's what Nova does. And as soon as she did, Ice went batshit crazy and thought he was going to have to kill them. And I'm like, dude, he's not done that ever. He doesn't. At my parents' house, unless you are coming to the front door, mailman, visitor, someone dropping a package off, whatever, he goes crazy, but he's protecting because that's he knows he needs to protect that house. But that's it. He could be in the backyard and there's dogs barking at him next door. There's people in the yard and he doesn't care. He gets over here and goes bananas because he has to back up his BFF Nova. And I'm like, dude, seriously? What is wrong with you? You haven't done that at all. And then my wife had an appointment. And so she left with Nova to go back to her parents where Nova's staying. And Ice literally pouted. He jumped in my bed and went and got on my bed and just sat there looking at me with the saddest eyes ever. And then I was like, all right, we'll go home. You can go back to grandma's house. So we get in the car and I take him and he was just sad. And then that made me sad because he was so happy. And then by his reaction after she left, I had to think, he thought, oh, I have my sister back. I have my best friend back. I have my life back. And he's a long ways from that, like at least another year, because construction isn't really began yet. So it was up down, but I got to tell you, I loved it so much, and it was all beneficial and it was all good. So that was awesome. The other podcast, I'm still doing that. That hasn't changed. That was never going to change, other than now I'm doing on the Instagram for that one. I'm, instead of just putting up a logo saying, hey, this is what's going on, new episodes up, I describe it. And I'm just coming out. I'm coming out of my Christian shell, if you will. It's like I'm the events of last week where I've always just kind of, I'm going to separate them. I'm going to be Stretch here. I'll be Michael over there. I'll do my podcast. I love reading the Bible. Love talking about the Bible. I'll do that, and I'll keep them real separate, and I'm not going to do that anymore. So I'm going to come out, and I'm going to be the face of that podcast, and I'm going to own everything there, and I'm going to not shy from that at all. So if it offends anyone, so be it. Don't care. Yeah, I've never really been one to care about offending people. But that's how I'm going to do it now. So you guys, thank you so much for being here and rolling through it all. So yeah, it's kind of weird here. This is now the Stretch Show, but it's still going to be, when you find it everywhere you've listened to it on podcasts, it's still going to be Fat Defender Else, just so as not to have to change stuff or make people re-find the show. I don't want to do that. And voila, here we go. It's still up and rolling. I got the new logo's really cool. I'm going to put that up. That's a sweet logo. It's a... because now, and that just shows you the technology. Before, I had to buy the logo for Fat to Fit, or else I had to buy the logo for God Wants to Talk to You. I haven't changed the logo for God Wants to Talk to You, but I changed the Stretch Show one, and it's a microphone, like an old-time radio microphone, and then the metal of the microphone says the Stretch Show podcast. Like, it's built into the microphone. It's really freaking cool. Well, it's AI, and it was free, and it didn't cost me a penny. And it's so nice to have that. So you can generate whatever you want on AI, but I was stoked to have that. I will probably eventually change the other one too, but right now I really want to just get the Stretch Show back up and popping. So here I am. Here I am. Here's another one too. I don't know what to think on this. What do you guys think? When I worked at the university, we're public safety campus police, and we functioned exactly like a police department. You know, like, in fact, all of our high-up supervisors were retired cops who were running the campus stuff at the there. But they were so anal about everything, and we had to have all of our security license, gun permits, all that stuff. Okay. Well, I never had to have that before at the job I have now. And I'm there's one security option at our office, and it's me. Now, I'm it. There's no, once in a while we'll bring in someone else and then they're under me, but it's usually just me. And I've been armed since I came back after I left the university. But now, I keep getting letters in the mail to renew my security. My security license is coming up, and you got to take these online courses and all this stuff. I am so anti-California because of, well, I don't know, they let my fucking house burn down and everything I've ever owned in my fucking life, that I'm not going to renew my security license and permits and all that stuff. You're like, how are you going to carry a gun? Well, the way the law states, if the owner of a property gives you permission, you can carry a gun there. I can't carry anywhere else. I can only carry it on the property. Well, that's the same with my permit. With my permit, I can't carry a gun off the property. I can only carry it on the property. So nothing changes. And I'm not giving the state of California any bullshit money. I'm not paying for any bullshit security courses. I already know how to be a security guard. And that's it. I can do citizen's arrest. None of that changes. Nothing changes. It's just California and their bullshit and their regulations. And I hate them. I hate them with a passion. And I'm not going to, most likely not going to renew my thing. I have to talk to my boss to make sure. But I also am going to go through the process of getting a concealed carry permit so that I can carry my firearm anywhere and everywhere. And then if I do that, it won't matter. I can always carry my gun concealed, and I would rather carry it concealed than someone see it, and then carry my taser gun and all my other stuff out. The only thing that will have to go in this is my nightstick. That is a permitted weapon that if I do not have the permits, I cannot carry anymore. That'd be it. I can still carry my pepper spray. I can still carry my handcuffs. I can still carry my taser gun all on my belt and all out. And I'm completely confident using those tools to do my daily security stuff. And I can always have my gun on the property. So anyhow, that's what I'm going through contemplation. Technically won't expire till the end of the year, but they're sending me all the messages right now. And I'm like, and that's because you have to go online and take your course and blah, 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 blah. And to be honest with you, I don't have any intention of ever doing security anywhere else but there. I don't have any intention of working anywhere else. I like it there. I'm going to be there till I die, which could be this week, but could be 10 years, but who knows? I am been thinking about that a lot. Sports weekend, how about that Canelo Alvarez fight? Apparently a really good fight. I did not see it, but he lost to a fighter that is now 42-0, Terrence Crawford. And a guy came up two weight divisions to fight Canelo and beat him. And I'm like, I don't dislike Canelo. I think he seems like a really good guy, and he's been great for the sport, and he's been a great champion. But in my opinion, I watched when he fought Triple G, Gennady Golovkin. And in my opinion, Canelo Alvarez lost the first. I watched the first fight and the second fight. And in the first fight, I'm like, well, Canelo lost. That's some BS. And they gave him the fight. And I think boxing is the dirtiest sport there is. And this time, it looked like he lost, and he lost, and they let Terrence Crawford take it. So that was good, and it was a good fight. I don't know if there'll be a rematch or whatever, but that was amazing. And shout out to Canelo for being one of those guys. This is the thing that's the best about Mexican fighters. They'll fight anyone. And when I say Mexican fighters, I mean fighters of Mexican descent, because Oscar De La Hoya was definitely an American, but he was a Mexican-American, and Oscar would fight anybody, anytime. That was the thing I loved the most about Oscar. I don't care who it was, and he lost a bunch of fights fighting people that most guys would duck, and that's the Mexican fighter thing. They're just like, okay, I'll fight that guy. Oh, we got to change this or that. Okay, I'll fight him. Like, they'll fight anybody, and it's pretty crazy that Canelo took on a really good Terrence Crawford and he lost. But you'd have to think the advantage was to Canelo. He would take that fight because this guy's coming up two weight classes. But anyhow, it was really, really something good. So I'm happy. Not that I have anything against Canelo, but respect. But I'm just, it's pretty cool. This guy won. This guy beat him. So we'll see what happens on that. Football was a good weekend. My piece of garbage, New York Giants, blew it. They had the Cowboys, and then they let them tie it in the final seconds. playing bad defense and then lost in overtime. And that's just never a good thing. But my team is garbage. Alabama won again, which was good, but I don't have a lot of faith in them either this year. My teams aren't the dominant species of football right now. So, but I still love it. I love it. I love it. I love it so much. I love to watch. I love to see Kansas City go 0-2 right now. That's awesome. I mean, granted, the Eagles beat them, but... And they beat them in the Super Bowl, but it was something. So they've lost the Super Bowl. They've lost their last three football games. Damn! That's crazy. Let's see. Here is... I still want to do some health stuff and fitness stuff and things like that, but I found a story that said Down syndrome could be eliminated. They found a basically a gene splicing tool, and they can go in, and this was in Japan, and 1 in 700 newborns in the United States have this extra chromosome they call chromosome 21, and they now can go in and basically edit it and fix them. And Down syndrome could be a thing of the past if they started doing that. Even though I remember when my wife was pregnant, and they're like, oh, you got to come in. The doctor's like, you got to come in for this test or whatever, whatever, whatever. And we're like, all right, what's this test? And they're like, well, we find out if the baby has Down syndrome so you can abort it. And I'm like, say what? And they say, yeah, we find out if the baby's Down syndrome so you can abort it. And I'm like, I don't want to know. And I would love a Down syndrome child as much as I love any child, and I wouldn't kill a baby. So go fuck yourself. We're not taking that test, and it is what it is. And my wife was in absolute agreement with me. And there's nothing that would ever make us abort a baby, and we wouldn't, but there's a lot of people that do, and we wouldn't. So but now, if they came and said, hey, we can do this, and we can edit this chromosome and fix it, that's a different story to me. I know there's some people that will still think you're playing God and you shouldn't be doing that, but I don't know. That's much more humane, editing a gene. The extra chromosome is removed and they think they get rid of Down syndrome. So, and I'm not saying Down syndrome people are evil in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying that's a tough life, and I know a lot of people. I know people on the spectrum. My son has a bunch of friends who are on the spectrum, literally. They went to school with that are their friends. Now, they're not full-on Down syndrome, but they have different disorders with different names. But they're great kids. They're wonderful kids. So, man, that's a tough one. Would you do it? Would you, would you abort a kid? Oh, and speaking of the Charlie Kirk fallout, I have liked watching. I want to see this, though. I know a lot of people got fired, and then I see the people defending going, wait a minute, I thought that you guys are into free speech, and now you want people to get fired and canceled for mocking the death of Charlie Kirk, who was a nobody but a regular civilian human being. Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm for. If you have a problem understanding that, then something's wrong with you, in my opinion. Like, if you think that, think it. Say it to yourself. You put that out in public and celebrate the death of a man executed in front of his wife and two very young children, you're not a proper human being. You are not. You can even, seriously, like, I get it. You could say, yeah, oh, man, that's cool. I don't have to see that guy anymore. But keep it to yourself. You start putting it on social media, I think you should get canceled. I would never do that. Would never do that. And I have very strong... If I found out Karen Bass died tonight, in my mind, I would be like, wow. On my social media, I'd probably be like, didn't agree with the lady, but, you know, she rose up to a high level. She achieved a lot of stuff in her life. Rest in peace. Same thing. Any politician or person that I hate. I told you guys, I freaking saved my ex's life a few weeks, and that, there's no one I dislike more on this planet than that human being. I even was disappointed in myself. I'm like, how did it stretch? What is up? How are you doing this? Why? You could have said, oh, it's gone. ding dong, the witch is dead. But no, you stepped up and said, hey, do the right thing. Be nice. Yeah. But I did. And so, anyway, I'm turning a new page. And I want to hold other people to a higher standard. And here's one. TMZ needs to get canceled. And Harvey Levin is lying. And there's a great video online of... So, yeah, I don't know if you know or not, but TMZ was doing a live stream. And then all of a sudden, you hear in the background the staff cheer, yeah, woo, and they all start cheering. And then Harvey says to the camera, he looks to the back, and then he goes, oh, President Trump just confirmed Charlie Kirk is dead. And people are like, whoa, what the F, dude? Seriously, you guys are cheering this guy dying? And then Harvey knew that was the death of TMZ at that point. At least Harvey's intelligent. And he came on and spun a bullshit story. He said, oh, no, there was a car chase. And they were cheering the end of the car chase. It was just really bad timing. If anyone were like that and worked here, we wouldn't let them work here. We would fire them. Now, it's complete and total horseshit because, of course, TMZ is doing a live stream. And they have a clock in there. And they... All these people who are going through and literally destroying the lives of people that posted stupid shit about Charlie Kirk are literally got the clock, got the timer, found the police chase they were talking about in Los Angeles. It didn't end for another 30 minutes after that happened and they made that announcement that Charlie died. Then they got the exact time that Trump's tweet or whatever social media post came out confirming the death of Charlie Kirk, and then they matched it to that clock, and lo and behold, it was the exact time that the TMZ staff burst out in cheers that a man had been murdered in front of his two small children and his wife. And to me, they are vile human beings. I will have nothing to do with TMZ ever again. I will never go to that site. I will not touch it. And that's my prerogative. You might think, wow, you anti-free speech a-hole. Yeah. I think, no, I'm an anti-a-hole a-hole, because I'm an a-hole, right? I get that, but there needs to be boundaries. There needs to be some common humanity between us. We are humans. We are all humans. You may think these people are evil. I think the people on the left are evil. I seriously do. If you're on the left, I'm sorry. I find them to be evil. People on the left, I know, find me evil, find anyone who is into religion evil and racist and fascist and Hitler and Nazi and all that. I've never killed anyone. I've never attacked anyone because of their race. Like, I'm in a biracial marriage. I'm pretty confident I'm not a racist. I'm pretty confident that I'm not a fascist. I'm religious. Yeah, and there's people have a problem with that. But, you know, it's freedom. You can have a problem with any of that. But if someone shoots me because of my beliefs, that's really wrong. And then if someone cheers that I'm dead, that's just a bad person in my eyes. So that's where I am. But what a crazy shit show of a world that we live in right now. It really, really is. I had another health story to get into, and I could stop my rambling. Stretch Show got no F's to give. Stretch Show is, here we go. Controversial acne drug can increase your sperm count for infertile men. Oh, back it up. Wait a minute. So imagine you go infertile and then you go and you're like, probably, I'm going to guess that's typically due to age. I'm sure there are men who have it, but, a small study, they say, it's a drug known for zapping zits, has been able to jumpstart sperm count on severely infertile patients, which they say has opened a new door to biological fatherhood. So that's me. So imagine being here I am, 50 whatever years old, and I suddenly go on acne medicine so that I can spit out a baby or two. Huh. Say, normal semen is packed with millions of sperm, but men with cryptozoospermia, I didn't know that was a word. That might be my new favorite word, cryptozoospermia. They barely have any swimmers at all. And so now, whatever this acne medicine is, they say 40 to 60% increase. That's really good. Now we got to find out what the medicine is. 20 milligrams of isotretinoin, known as Accutane, twice daily. So 20 milligrams of Accutane twice daily for 6 months will get rid of your cryptozoospermia. And you will have a zoo of spermia. And in fact, 82% of people that did this got the increase within 3 months. There you go. Shout out. Look at me. I'm going to go shoot a get a baby going at 60. I said I was going to shoot a baby out. And you know what? I could do that because if I said I could have a baby, you have to acknowledge it's okay that I could have a baby. Speaking of that, that made me think of a dream I had. And let's go back to my other dream. Nothing happened on September 13th. And I had told, like, literally, okay, let me tell you guys the sincerity that went into me talking about that here on the podcast. I have had some incredibly prophetic dreams and a lot of hunches and things. And I started a few years ago meditating. I was having problems sleeping, and I was like, I'm going to meditate. And then when I would meditate, I would see things that were weird. There was weird stuff happening when I meditated. The more I did it, the better I got. Started having dreams, started having prophetic dreams, started just all through meditation. It was like, apparently my body's always had this, let's call it a gift. And through meditation, and I pray a lot. It's kind of honed in. So I had that dream, and that dream of me writing that date, and the very feeling of that dream, it was ominous. It was something weird, and I was writing that date down over and over and over and over and over and over. And then I just had a dream a year or so ago of my deceased uncle had came to me, and he was in, it was the weirdest thing, in a traffic jam. He was driving a semi, he got out, and he told me, hey, the road ahead is really rough. And I, in the dream, like, went, oh, yeah, because we were in bumper-to-bumper traffic. And it was weird that I'm talking to my uncle who's driving a semi, my uncle who lived in Alabama, and I was in Los Angeles in front of my parents' house when he drove up in a semi, and it was just like, hey, what's happening? Just talking to him normally. And anyhow, shit hit the fan shortly after that dream. Like, it's been a really, really rough time since then. And then on Friday, and I told everyone I knew. I told all my friends. I told all my family. I said, hey, you guys know, and most people know, that know me closely, know this has been happening. These gut feelings and things have been happening, and these visions. There's a lot of crap that goes on. And I told everyone, like, just, hey, be safe on Saturday. Just, like, know where you're going. Look around. Like, I got a bad vibe about Saturday, and I had a dream, and I don't know what's going to go on. Then I had the dirty bomb dream after, but they weren't the same dream, and they weren't linked, but it was a dirty bomb. It was in L.A. Whatever. But nothing happened on Saturday, and I was so relieved. I was like, I would be happy to have everyone laugh at me than for me to have an intuition like that and to not share it, because I would feel bad if something happened to anyone. Like, if I could have saved one person, like, that would be cool. So I'm totally fine being wrong. I'm happy to be wrong, and I was wrong. Now, one of my friends who has got, there's some people that are like, yeah, whatever, they blow me off, yeah, whatever, they don't believe, even though I've accurately hit crap and they know I have, they blow me off. And then there's other people that are creeped out by that, and I understand that too. And so I told my friend, hey, I had a bad kind of vision about what's going to happen, something's going to happen on Saturday, lay low, like, just, I don't know. And he's like, to me? And I'm like, no, it's for everyone, it wasn't you particular. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Nothing happened. He's fine. But on Saturday, he was in bed, and he lives up in the hills, and he was in bed, And another friend of ours had called him and needed something. And he goes, I'm in bed. And he's like, well, I really need this. So he had to go out into his garage to get something. And where he lives is, like I said, up in the hills and very outdoorsy. And he and he walked out his door. And he said, I heard it. And then it struck and it missed me. And it was a rattlesnake literally sitting on his porch up against his house. And And usually a rattlesnake will rattle and give you a warning, then you can get the hell out of there. But this thing rattled and struck because I think he walked out literally right on top of it and it missed him. So he was like, I blame you for that crap. You're the one that told me to look out. I'm like, he doesn't get that. It wasn't him. It was an ominous feeling of all everything. Now, I had a conversation and I told my son about this too. I told my son and my daughter. I told my wife. I told my brother, my mom and dad, I've told everyone about this because it freaked me out. I had a bad feeling and it freaked me out. And so some people are like, well, maybe it was like, what was that 3 days before was the Charlie Kirk thing. Maybe that's what it was because that's a big event and not so much that that guy was so important, but it's going to change stuff that's a momentum shifting event. Because so many people are now really angry about it. So many people are now, I'm going to be the new one. And so many people are coming out. But so maybe that, I don't know. I don't know how this works. Even my brother, when I told him, he laughed at me and said, why don't you tell me the lottery numbers? And I said, I wish I could because everything I have is usually bad. Every bit of news I get in these is usually a warning of something bad or something bad happening. So, and then on Friday, if you listen to the Stretch Show at Big 49, which ran on Friday, it was a best of. It was some of the old stuff I had done when I was doing the morning show there. And randomly, that pops up on Friday, and he plays it. And I think, well, they knew. I told them, too. So I think they found that one. But it was a clip of me doing the show, and I recorded the show the night before. And I said on the show, it was a story about the Queen of England renting out properties that she owned, a very wealthy woman, by the way, on Airbnb. And you're like, wow, what a money grubber. But that wasn't it. She was literally, she owned these properties and she was trying to make it affordable for British citizens to be able to have a great vacation and save a little money. And she was doing it very generously out of her kindness of her heart. So she did it, and I did the story, and I said, this is really nice that she did this because she's going to die very soon, Psychic Stretch says so, and she died the next day. And that was on tape. We played that. We played the clip of that and then talked about that on Friday on the Stretch Show on Big 49. But there's been a lot of that stuff. I predicted when we were doing the motocross show, a guy getting hurt, and he got hurt, and it was... Anyway... There's a lot of stuff. So I felt very happy to say it and be wrong. I was happy Saturday to say that and be wrong. And hopefully nothing happens here in the next couple of days because we had something 3 days before it. Hopefully we don't have something 3 days after it. But I don't know. And I don't know how it works. And I don't get this. I just know it's a lot of it comes from, and that wasn't a meditation, vision. The meditations are visions, but then there's dreams, and a lot of the dreams are visions. They're not dreams. It's very different. A dream is always so weird. Weird stuff happens in dreams and makes complete sense, but it was one of those really trippy ones. So I was wrong, and I'm happy to be wrong. And I'll let you guys know if I have any more weird ones. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, I get annoyed with myself because as a young man at 23 years old, I was 23 when I moved to New York and I rented a house and then it was haunted. The problem was I was a 23-year-old narcissistic a-hole who didn't believe in any of that stuff. It was stupid and dumb, and if you did, you were a clown. And I wasn't afraid of no ghost. Then I saw one right in front of me, right in my face. And it changed my life forever. It really did. And then, so then I'm like, all right, I'm the ghost guy now. Cool. I know. I saw it. I know it. I know what I saw. Blah, blah, blah. And I became open to, all right, there's a lot of different stuff out there we didn't know about. We can't explain. I'm kind of the same way on UFOs. And then when I saw the UFOs, I was so mad. I was so mad. When I stood, I was working at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was at LMU. I was at the back guard gate covering the break for a gate guard. I was a patrol officer, but I was at the gate, and there's gate guards, patrol officers. I was patrol, and I was covering the lunch break for a gate guard at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they were about to come back, so I had walked outside, and I had my patrol car parked right next to the booth, and I was walking out just about to get into my patrol car because I knew they'd be back any minute. And a freaking UFO flew over my head, and I stood there because I went back and pulled the cameras because I wanted to see if I could see it on the camera. It was very low. And I was like, what the F? What? That's all you can see on the cameras, my voice going, what? And I had my phone in my hand. And I didn't even think to turn it on because I was so mad I was seeing it. And I was like, I'm a ghost guy. I'm a ghost guy. I'm not a UFO guy. Now I'm a freaking nut job. Now I'm everything weird. Now I'm a psychic ghost guy, UFO seer. There's a lot we don't know. A lot that we don't know. And my suggestion is to be open to this crap. Be open to it. That's all I can say. I've had three experiences with Jesus himself. Straight up Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Say, boom, there. In my house once, in a building I've never been in once. And the third time, I'm not sure where we were, and he was not happy with me that third time. And that was recently. So, yeah. I will tell you what that is, because it should be at least be interesting to you, even if you don't believe this garbage. The most recent one. I was already doing the podcast, the religious podcast. I've already had made an adjustment in my life to try to be a better human being, and I thought I was being a good Christian. And then I had this dream, and there, lo and behold, was the Lord, and he was standing in front of me. And first time I saw him, I made a joke. He shook his head almost in disgust, and it ended like, you idiot. Like, I made a joke, and I'm like, I'm standing here in front of Jesus. You should be on the ground kneeling and praising and giving thanks. And I made a joke. This is way before I was saved. I was doing the Jamie Jack and Sten show when that one happened. And it went away, and I regretted that for years, forever. And then I had another one that was weird. And it was just, I saw him. There was no word spoken. And then when I saw him on the most recent one, he said, Michael, and whenever, if you talk to God, you pray, I always hear Michael. I don't hear Stretch. It's your birth given name. And it's not Mike. Most people that do use my real name call me Mike, but he calls me Michael, like my mom. And he says, Michael, I've been very patient with you. Pick up your cross and follow me. And I didn't say anything. And he repeated it, and he repeated it three times. And all I said was, yes, Lord, I'll do that. And so I'm trying. I'm really trying. I thought I was trying before, but I'm trying more now. So that's where I am. That's the crazy that is me. I'm telling you, I have to wake up every morning and chase the crazy off. I am a Jesus-seeing, ghost-seeing, UFO-seeing psychic. And resident fat, angry idiot on top of all of that, which I am trying to reel in at all times. I'm trying to keep the water out of the boat. That's all I'm trying to do. And trying to be better. He wasn't yelling at me, but he was very stern. And I knew he was not incredibly happy with me. And I think a lot of that was the double life of the double podcast and suppressing my Christianity. So it's all out in the open now. Everything's out there. I hope that's what he's talking about, because I'm seriously trying. You guys, I'm gonna get out of here now that I've let you in on the secrets of just how bat cuckoo I am. And I will be back again on Friday. I have a bonus pod unless I get called home before then. So till Friday, Have a great week.